Well, welcome to our midweek service. It's wonderful to have you with us, and a very warm welcome to everybody who's joining us online. And I think I want to briefly make a particular welcome to anybody in Australia that is joining us. I know that there's a group of you joining us. It is wonderful to have you with us, and I was so thrilled that you are blessed with our times of worship. So welcome. Many of you, all of you probably know I'm Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here, but just in case you are joining us for the first time, that's who I am. And we are continuing with our series of how to learn to live unhurried lives, living life at God's pace. And today we've got Heather, one of our lay readers, who's going to be teaching us on the Sabbath and what it means to recapture Sabbath in our lives. So we're going to continue with that. As we gather, it is a time where we are about to go into lockdown. It's another moment where there's all sorts of change and uncertainty, and all of us will be responding in very different ways. Some of us may be feeling extremely angry. Some of us may be very anxious. Some of us may be looking forward to it for all sorts of reasons. However you're feeling, that is a valid feeling. Embrace that, take it to the Lord, and journey with him. But during this lockdown, and today, and wherever we are people of gathered in spirit. We are a spirit people, which means that there is the invisible and the visible. And so I want to encourage us to remember that in the coming weeks, wherever we are, wherever our circumstances, as we've experienced over recent months, in the spirit we are gathered together. We are in union. We are not alone. We are not isolated. And many of you will know that Sunday was All Saints' Day. And the Lord took me and reminded me of that wonderful passage in the beginning of chapter 12 in the letter to the Hebrews, where Paul has been in the previous chapter talking about faith, but listing all those men and women through history recorded in Scripture who were great men and women of faith. And then he says to the Hebrews, or the audience to that letter, he says, since we, let me read it properly rather than off hat. He said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So can I encourage you to know that we have a great crowd of witnesses that are cheering us on, but also that we are part of that crowd and we are not alone. So, can I invite you to stand? The Lord be with you and also with you. We come from scattered lives to meet with God. Let us recognize his presence with us. As God's people, we have gathered, so let us worship him together. So please stand or sit and enjoy the words as we listen to this wonderful hymn, How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Amongst everything else that I've already introduced about today and our circumstances and lockdown, of course, today is Remembrance Sunday. And perhaps for many of us, this is a particularly unique year because of the pandemic. And so it isn't a time for us purely to reflect back on those many people that gave their lives such that we may live in a free country. But this year, many have died early, before their time, for want of a better phrase. Many of us have experienced grief for many different reasons, but mostly or particularly as a result of the pandemic. So we're now going to enter a moment of remembrance. And
we'll start our act of remembrance with a short prayer. We meet in the presence of God. We commit ourselves to work in penitence and faith for reconciliation between the nations, that all people may, together, live in freedom, justice and peace. We pray for all who in bereavement, disability and pain continue to suffer the consequences of fighting and terror. We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in world wars and conflicts past and present have been given and taken away. I'll now read out the men of this parish who gave their lives in the First World War, 1914 to 1918. Thomas Atfield, Joseph Coldrick, Llewellyn Edwards, Thomas Hatfield, Robert Holden, Herbert Lewis, William Powell, William Rothin, Philip Sellers, Robert Sporton, Alan Stiles, Reginald Thomas, and Noel Turner. The men of this parish who gave their lives in the Second World War, 1939 till 1945. Charles Addis, Martin Baldwin, James Cartland, John Cartland, Hubert Dutson, Jack Gatfield, William Gibbs, Charles Lowe, George Lithgow, William McCary, Jim Paintin, and Jack Tummy. We also remember all of those who have died in the service of our country in conflicts from the Second World War until the present day. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today.
Let me return to that scripture in Hebrews. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so let us confess and recognize that we fall short of the glory of God. Let us say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us, pardon and forgive us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let us, for an addition in our service, make a declaration of faith before we go into the teaching. Let us say together, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. Amen. And we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So please take a seat, and Alan is going to come and do the readings for us, and then we'll be listening. No, we won't. We'll have one song before the teaching.
The Genesis part leads on into the Exodus reading. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord our God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the word of the Lord.
Now going to listen to our second hymn, Dear Lord and Father of All Mankind.
I love that hymn. It touches me in a very deep place and somehow sets me right. The first time I remember singing it was, strangely, in a thunderstorm. I was sitting in a double bed with my parents and younger sister on a Sunday evening on holiday in Charmouth, cuddled up together looking out through a wide window onto the bay where a spectacular lightning display was taking place and the thunder was rolling round, bouncing from headland to headland. Not exactly the still small voice of calm, but I remember it as a moment of love, wonder, delight and warm security, a real Sabbath moment. For the Jewish word for Sabbath, Shabbat, means not only stop, a day to stop working, stop striving, stop worrying, but also delight, a day to take joy in God and in his wonderful world. It's a day set aside to follow God's own example of stopping and taking delight in the wonderful world he's created. We heard how he did that in the reading from Genesis 2. God saw all that he had created was very good. So on the seventh day he stopped and rested from all his work. And he blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. God established a rhythm of work and rest, 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. That suggests that if we neglect living in that rhythm, we impair our ability to live well and in harmony with our Creator and Heavenly Father. The commandment to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy is the longest of the Ten Commandments and the only one which answers the question, why? Why should I do this? It's for no less reason than to live in step with the rhythms of the Creator himself. In the aftermath of the French Revolution, the Republican government in France tried to establish a 10-day working week to improve production. But the outcome was the opposite, a total disaster. Something similar happened in communist Russia. Studies have shown conclusively that once people work 7 days or more without a break, their productivity declines and so does their mental health. In John Mark Comer's words, this rhythm of 6 days of work and one of rest is the way the Creator's brilliant mind designed our souls and our society to flourish and thrive. I wonder what your experience of Sabbath or Sunday has been. Of course, the Jewish Sabbath was and is Saturday. The early Christians began celebrating the day of Jesus' resurrection, the first day of the week, as their day of rest and worship. And we call it Sunday, though that is in fact a pagan name, meaning the day of the sun god. When I was a girl, Sunday was often called the Lord's Day, and it was set apart as a day when shops and pubs were closed. My parents made it a special day for us in various ways. We ate special food, starting with a special Sunday breakfast, including grapefruit and sugar puffs and eggs on Easter Sunday. My mother cooked the roast on Saturday, and we had it cold on Sunday so that she didn't miss church through cooking it. There'd be time when we got back from church to make a crumble or tart or fruit sponge, which we'd be cooking while we ate our first course. That was often my task. We wore our best clothes. You've heard the expression Sunday best. We used the best china. When I was little and we lived in a village, we used to go for walks in the afternoon and play Bible games and listen to records of hymns after especially nice tea. When we moved to town, I was able to go to Crusaders on Sunday afternoons, which, with what I learnt at home, had a much greater effect on my spiritual growth than the rather boring Baptist church. There were certainly things you didn't do on Sundays. Knitting, for some example. And in some families, whistling. But I don't think I felt this as particularly irksome until in my early teens I went to a Crusader summer holiday in a boarding school which had a lovely open-air swimming pool, which we weren't allowed to use on Sunday. That didn't make sense to me. The way I put it now is that if the Sabbath is a time to rest and thrive and enjoy God's world, surely swimming is a God-given pleasure to be enjoyed. Which brings me to Jesus, who we're told always went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. But he also liked to relax with his friends. And one Sabbath afternoon, we find them strolling through a cornfield, pulling ears of wheat, rubbing them in their fingers, and eating the kernels. Suddenly, some Pharisees confronted Jesus. Were they following him or lurking in the corn? They accused him of harvesting, which was unlawful on the Sabbath, but this ridiculous nitpicking was not in the spirit of the original Sabbath commandments in the Old Testament. They had amplified these with all sorts of detailed extra prohibitions. Jesus' response to them was, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." They'd missed the reason for God's Sabbath command, which was to slow down, rest from the week's work, and delight in God and his world. Interestingly, it's immediately after this confrontation that Jesus spoke those words we've already dwelt on previous Sundays. "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Torah, the Old Testament law, was often known as the yoke. Jesus was saying the Pharisees were piling on extra weight, whereas his yoke is easy to bear, and he invites us to find rest for our souls. Rest is an integral part of what Sabbath is all about. But not rest in the sense of doing nothing. It isn't a day off. God blessed the Sabbath and made it holy, a time to meet with him in an intentional and unhurried way, because we've laid aside the things which preoccupy us and make us tired and driven, or which distract and pressure us for the rest of the week. John Mark Comer calls it whole life orientation towards God. As Paul Hunt said last week about entering into silence and solitude, it needs effort. Because our attention span has been so eroded by modern media, and because the tempo of the world is hurry, 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 rush, push, don't stop, we have to make a conscious decision to enter into Sabbath rest and resist the temptation to send those emails or texts, finish off whatever we were doing yesterday, or catch up on the things we didn't do. Jesus didn't say you don't need a yoke, a godly structure to your life. He said, "My yoke is easy." And that's because he modelled how God intended us to live and invited us to live those unforced rhythms of grace with him. And that included an entire day he set aside for rest and worship every week. Now, this is all countercultural in our day and very challenging, particularly if we feel we have to keep going all the time to survive. The pace of modern life is exhausting, which of course is why we're doing this series, to help us learn to unhurry, to slow down, live simply, make time for silence and solitude, and enter into Sabbath rest and worship. The sense of Sunday as a special day has been eroded more and more in my lifetime. Some of you may remember how, to many people's annoyance, pubs in Wales were the last to be allowed to open on Sundays after Sunday opening had become acceptable in England. And when Sunday shop opening was first introduced, there was a campaign called Keep Sunday Special, which was a movement not only of Christians, but also of small shopkeepers. It was feared there would be undue pressure put on shop workers, particularly women, who didn't want to work on Sundays, which meant they risked either losing their job or losing their precious family time. My mother was an ardent campaigner for this cause. Now, Sunday retail therapy, sports events, and all the other Sunday activities have so become the norm that we as Christians hardly question how they're affecting us as followers of Jesus. I personally don't go shopping on Sundays except in an emergency, and then I feel guilty and hope no one sees me. Even so, after reading this section in the Elimination of Hurry book, I do feel as if my Sunday is a sort of hybrid between Sabbath and secular. Of course, if we choose to observe Sabbath the biblical way, it doesn't have to be on Sunday. It can be whatever day suits our life patterns. The important thing is to set aside a day, or at least a defined period of time, to do these four things: stop, rest, delight, and worship. In fact, I discovered that the Comer family observes the Jewish Sabbath, which begins with lighting candles and sharing a special meal on Friday evening. John Mark lists some of the ways his family spends Sabbath: feasting, playing, cuddling, singing, laughing, telling stories, reading, painting, walking, and enjoying creation. And they use this Sabbath time to pray and worship, read and dwell in God's word. Like Dave, John Mark stresses that Sabbath is a time to liberate ourselves from the tyranny and addictiveness of our digital devices, even if this means we suffer withdrawal symptoms. His family put all their devices in a box and lock them away for the duration. So, is it possible to observe Sabbath in this wholehearted way? Can it work for a busy parent? Can it work if you're struggling to make ends meet and feed your family? Can it work if you have a high-pressure job with deadlines to meet? If we think we haven't got time to do it, perhaps we should keep a time log to see how long we spend watching television or going online and using social media. Could it be we just need to reallocate our time to seek first the kingdom of God? These are tough questions, but I believe this new lockdown is offering us the opportunity to put this teaching to the test. Observing Sabbath is not a matter of legalistic rules. It's tended to be a liberation and a delight to do us good and make us happy and to feed our souls, not just on that day, but for the whole of the following week. And as Comer says, and I agree, if this becomes habitual, we shall spend the week looking forward to the next Sabbath, finding strength for the pressures of every day in the knowledge that our batteries will be recharged next Sunday. In closing, let's just think and pray through the words of that hymn again. Let's come to our dear Lord, the Father of mankind, and confess our foolishness in not living in the way he's planned for us. Let's ask that he will reclothe us in our rightful mind, so that our lives are purer and more full of service, reverence, and praise. It's not complicated. We're called to simple, trusting discipleship, like the first followers of Jesus, and invited to enter into Sabbath rest, beautifully pictured by Lake Galilee with the calm of hills above. Jesus sought his Father there, and we're invited to do the same, experiencing his eternal, inexhaustible love. We pray, drop thy still dews of quietness till all our strivings cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Isn't that a life to aspire to? The words of this hymn exquisitely capture the loveliness of what we're being offered. The still dews of quietness, coolness, balm, instead of fret and worry and heated, frantic striving after things we can never fully attain and which can never fully satisfy. That's what Sabbath is for. And as we accept the invitation to enter that Sabbath rest here, together, at this moment, we are assured of hearing that still, small voice of calm, the whisper of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Let's be quiet and listen to what he's saying to you and me now.
Thank you, Heather, for that rich teaching. Is it possible that the Lord is using lockdown to reshape us as a nation, as a people, as a church, to reshift our priorities, rediscover what it is to have a Sabbath, to return to those ancient rhythms and to know God more richly in our lives? I know that I'm personally trying to shut down the mobile phone on a Sabbath and switch off those distractions, and I've already found fruit in that, a calming, an easing, because I haven't got that noise going on. So I commend to each and every one of us to go and seek the Lord. What does it mean to recapture the Sabbath for yourself in your own lives? So let's move into a time of prayer. As we gather at this moment, we're very conscious that we await the results of what is happening in America at this moment and the election. If you're listening to this on Sunday, you will know the result. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the United States of America, as with many nations, a nation that influences our geopolitics. Lord, we pray for that nation today as they decide on their new leader. We pray right now for the new president, whoever he may be. We pray that he would be a man of integrity and of justice and of truth and of strong leadership. We pray whichever man becomes president would be led to work to unite that nation. To be a man speaking of peace and be an influencer for good. I personally was shocked to see the nation unsettled and needing to board up windows to shops, etc., to be fearful of unrest. Lord, we pray that there would be peace over that nation, that there would not be unrest. Amen. And Lord, as we enter lockdown, we pray for our own nation. We thank you for our nation. We thank you that we are part of the United Kingdom. We thank you for your love of our nation, Lord. And we pray for our leaders. We pray for our politicians that they continue to grapple with how to lead us through the pandemic and the many other challenges that face us as a nation. Lord, we pray for leaders in business, in local government, and in all areas of our society. And at this time, once again, we lift to you the NHS. We lift to you the doctors, the nurses, those that care, supply, administration, all of those involved in making the NHS work. We recognize, Lord, that the staff still speak of being exhausted from the last lockdown, of their anxiety, of their fear, of their stretchedness and their stress at this time, and their uncertainty about what the coming weeks and months as we go into winter will produce for them. Lord, would you be their peace? Would you be their supernatural strength? Would you be their inspiration and their wisdom, Lord, at this time? And we declare that the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus shed on the cross speaks a greater word than the coronavirus and this pandemic. And that your will be done in this nation. And that your sovereignty would lead us through this time and bring us in to sweet green pastures in the months ahead. And in that way, Lord, we pray for those businesses that are going to be so deeply affected. We pray for the workers, the families, those that are going to struggle without work. Lord, we lift those to you. Would your arms of protection and care and comfort and provision be around those people, those communities and those businesses. And Lord, would you pray, would you show us how we need to serve our communities, love our neighbours, share with one another, and be your saints and ambassadors in our communities. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, finally, we pray for ourselves. And in a moment of silence, we bring to you, Lord, our own needs, our own concerns, those that we love that need your intervention. And we offer ourselves in a moment of silence. And so, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers, which we offer to you as a sweet incense to you this today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Could I invite you to stand? I think it's an enormous privilege that before lockdown starts, we can gather to have this communion. And let us remember that we, even though we'll be apart, we are joined through the bread and the wine as a community of faith. So we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came and preached peace to those who were far off and those who were near. The peace of the Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us turn to one another and perhaps just wave at each other a sign of peace to one another. Blessings, blessings. So, the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Please take a seat. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love, you made us for yourselves. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared your life that we might live in you and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for us all a perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed, at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. And at the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. And as we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord. With your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And so as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. And though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. So Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. And so draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus, which he gave for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith and thanksgiving. So let us say the post-communion prayer together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May God give to you and to all those you love his comfort and his peace, his light and his joy, his world and in this world and the next, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you throughout the coming week. Amen. And just before I send us out, just a couple of things to let you know. In light of the lockdown, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, has called the church to a month of prayer during this time. And so how that works out, we'll be talking and reflecting as a church leadership team. But for you as individuals, I just submit that to you as to what does it mean to actually spend the next few months, perhaps more intentionally being in a place, a posture of prayer at this time for ourselves, for our community, and for our nation. But alongside that, next Friday, the 13th of November, there is going to be a day of a focus day of prayer, a particular call to bring the church together, to concentrate our prayer on that day. Again, what that will look like, we're still working out. Bear in mind that the church can be open for private prayer in the coming weeks, but not for corporate prayer. But we'll be looking to have the church open, and ideally at this moment, to have someone here praying for every hour during that time. But we will let you know, but just as a heads up. Please stay in touch with what is coming out in the weekly mailing. Dave's recent updated YouTube video to tell you what's happening on this Sunday, but also the other things that are going on. And as an aside, we've had 20 people come and join us on the Happiness Lab, which started this week, which has been an extraordinary thing to have that number of people, none of them connected with, one person connected with our church, but otherwise friends of friends, or they've picked up. So please pray for us and pray for them that they would discover the richness of their spirituality, whatever that looks like, in the coming weeks. And a final thing for each of us, Dave in his YouTube talks about continuing to connect. Connect in, connect up, and connect out. And if I remember it correctly, the connecting in, connecting with us as a church, connecting up with our own individual journeys, with connecting with God, stay connected with God and be led by him. And then connecting out, what does it mean to connect out with our communities, with our neighbours? So encouragement to a month of prayer, but also a time to remain connected. So let me finish by saying, go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.
Skies, your mighty works display.
nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. You opened my eyes to your wonders and you. You captured my heart with this love. 'Cause nothing on earth is as
my soul, my soul, my soul, my soul, my soul.